We're going to start the programme this morning by talking about the day that it is. Today is the 9th of February. It's International World Epilepsy Day 2026. And it is an issue for a lot of people out there who are suffering, a lot of people out there who are still struggling for a diagnosis of epilepsy as well, how to manage it. There's good advice from all sorts of organisations out there. One of them today talks about sleep loss and stress being triggers for seizures. Well, with me on the line to talk about this and a number of other things is the current Minister for Media, Communications, Arts and Culture, and that is Patrick O'Donovan, who himself has epilepsy. Minister O'Donovan, thanks for joining me in the programme this morning. Look, it's a very important day, first of all, for those who are trying to manage and live with epilepsy. But look, can I first of all ask you about your own situation? And you know, you've talked publicly about this, but for a very long time, you didn't speak publicly about it. Is that part of the issue around epilepsy, or particularly epilepsy for someone who's in the public eye?
Marilyn, Gerry, Marilyn, to listeners, look, it absolutely is. And I suppose to be quite frank about it, having a disability or a neurological condition and being in politics, you know, and mine has been diagnosed now for a good while since I got my first, I suppose, diagnosis in 2015, 2016. And, you know, one of the things I was worried about was, you know, how was it going to be viewed publicly, and would people vote for the person with the neurological condition and the, you know, the physical disability? And I think, to be quite honest about it, for an awful lot of people who have neurological conditions, they're suffering in silence because they don't want to be viewed, you know, negatively. There is quite an awful lot of ignorance still in Ireland and around the world in general with regard to neurological conditions and how they affect people. So I kind of bottled it up and didn't speak to anybody about it other than my immediate family, until the Irish Times did a hatchet job on me after being appointed as Minister for the Arts. And they basically, you know, went to town on me saying that this is a guy that has never been to the theatre, never been to the cinema, you know, doesn't go to concerts. No, I don't know how to deduce all that, probably from my social media. But the problem for me was I said, well, right, this is enough now, because I have a photosensitivity. So light and sleep are probably the two things that set me off in terms of my seizures. So I decided at that stage that, look, to be honest about it, I had won 4 general elections with it. I had won 2 county council elections without it being diagnosed. I had received a misdiagnosis. I had gone undiagnosed. I was told there was nothing wrong with me. I was told by a variety of different people that, you know, I was fine, there was nothing wrong with me, and that I had a perfectly normal life, and that it was all in my head, quote, until my wife insisted that I had to go further, and I wound up in Beaumont Hospital under the care of Professor Norman Delenty, and he gave me a diagnosis which, you know, at the time was kind of shattering, that with regard to what I had. But in other ways, it was a relief, because I knew that there was something physiologically wrong with me, and I had proof of it then. Then I had a relapse, and I was taken to St. James's Hospital, and back to the same thing again. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. You don't have epilepsy. You don't have a neurological condition. You know, we don't have a neurologist on call, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. So I signed myself out of that hospital, went home, having had a massive seizure in Leinster House, wound up back in hospital again the following week. So I know that, you know, I hope that by me saying what my version of the story, and I spoke about this first to the Irish Independent, and it was quite difficult, to be quite honest about, because it's very personal.
Yeah.
I feel that, especially for employers and for people in the public, you can have a perfectly normal life. Like, nobody would have ever considered that I would have had a neurological condition up until the time that I outed myself with it, and nobody would have thought any differently. Like, I won 4 general elections, but I did so with the support of the team around me, and building in rest and building in proper meals and making sure that I was able to cope with the stress and things like that. And, you know, I have, whether it is in relation to RTE or Radio Kerry or wherever, I've had to contend with some fairly ropey interviews. And I do so in a managed way. But I know that, for instance, last week I was not in a very good space, because the medicine that I'm on, it affects my voice. So sometimes I stutter. I stuttered as a child, and I went back stuttering, you know, a fortnight or 3 weeks ago in a bad way. And I knew that if I didn't turn up for the RTE interview in question, they would have said, oh, the minister's gone to ground. So I just decided, yeah, look, to hell with this, I'm going on. And, you know, it does affect, the meds that I'm on does affect my speech. So I do have a stutter. And sometimes it comes out of the blue, particularly if I'm overly tired. I was at the match in Turles, in Paris, the other night, Ireland and France. And there was a light show, and I had to spend the time, yeah, of the light show basically looking at the ground, because if I engage in it at all, there's a risk. So it's about managing it, but it's also about raising awareness that there is still a stigmatism in Ireland with regard to neurological, yeah, conditions. And
you
hope that by me saying this,
when you were in hospital at one stage, you were told effectively there's nothing wrong with you, we don't have a neurologist on call, but we have a psychiatrist. In other words, it's all in your head. Do you think there are people still today being told that?
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt about it that there is. And you see, the issue for me was that I was able to self-advocate. I was able to say to this guy, right, I'm out of here. And it was in St. Yeah. James's Hospital. And he left the room. It was a four-bedded ward. He came back in with a post-it pad and his medical council number written on it. He threw it at me. He said, I'm just after finding out who you are, you're probably going to need this. In other words, that I was going to complain about him. I signed myself out of St. James's, and the following week I was in Beaumont under my consultant, Norman Delenty. I wound up in what's called the Epilepsy Monitoring Unit, which is a place where they basically wean you off of all your meds for a period of time, and they trigger seizures to see what are the things that are causing your seizures. Now, in my case, it's tiredness. Tiredness is the big cause for me. But they put me on a series of drugs, and some of them were actually more horrendous than others. I often say that, like, you know, it's kill or cure kind of thing. You know, you yeah, you're curing one thing and you're causing another. But I've landed on a one now at the moment, thanks be to God, touch wood, which is working and has it under control. And, you know, I have a perfectly normal life, were only for the fact that I routinely stutter. And other than that, I don't have any outward expression of it.
Yeah. Did you think that at any stage it was going to be the end of your political career because of the stigma? Because of, sure, how can he do that job if he's tired or stressed? He might have a seizure.
Not only that, I thought it on many occasions was going to be the end of my life. I mean, I had one particular evening a long time ago, and it went on for nearly an hour. I had a controlled one in the epilepsy monitoring unit in Dublin, which went on for 55 minutes, and the nurse said she never saw anything like it. So whatever about my career, like, I've three small children, and I'm married to somebody who has had to look on at this, and her life hasn't exactly been a bed of roses either. But I did think, and I've obviously taken a big risk at this stage by saying that I have a neurological condition, because I know that some people are profoundly ignorant, you know, they can't help it. And when you knock on their door looking for a vote, they'll say, sure, why would I vote for you? Aren't you the fella that has, you know, aren't you the fella that has the disability? So, but the vast majority of people are hugely sympathetic. And funnily enough, from all over the country, I have gotten messages and emails from people who are also suffering in silence and who don't even know that they have it. And so I'm trying to encourage people to, you know, through their GP, get a consultation with a neurologist in their local area as soon as possible and get themselves checked out, because upwards of 50,000 people in Ireland have it, 50 million people around the world have it, and a lot of babies are born with it. Some people develop it into adulthood. Some people, you know, if there's a major trauma in their life, like an accident or something like that, it's one of the after effects of it. And like, we didn't go out looking for it, but, you know, we have it, and it's a case of managing it.
Yeah, and that's the key question, and to be believed and not to be afraid that this is going to affect my job, it's going to affect my life, I'm not telling anybody, people look at me differently. We need to try and move on from that.
I'd like to see a situation where people with epilepsy are no different to people with diabetes, you know, and they're just viewed that if they're taking an injection, it's not a big deal. And some people have hypos and they're really able to get on with it. But there is still, like, for the vast majority of people, they just take it as a medical condition. But there is an underlying quite a degree, I feel anyway, of ignorance of the condition and lack of awareness. And that's why I hope that on a day like today, that people will actually just see it as, you know, that you can be if you're, is there someone in Kerry or Limerick or Cork listening to this, that you, you know, you can wind up in a situation where you're in a fairly difficult job. In my situation, I'm one of only 15 people that hold a government seat. I never thought I'd have it. And particularly when I got the diagnosis, I was a Minister of State, I kind of said to myself, well, that's my political career now fixed. And it wasn't. And, you know, I did confide in a couple of colleagues, including the now tarnished Simon Harris. And he has never viewed the fact that I have a disability as a negative. You know, he never defines me with it. But has always said to me, you know, that if I need to take time off to rest or anything like that, or if there's things that I can't do, just say it. And other than that, get on with your job. And it's just managed. Yeah. And most people, in fairness, are very, you know, understand it. But there is a residue, and look, I mean, let's call it, and I hope that by me speaking about it, both to the Irish Independent and to a number of broadcast outlets, including Radio Kerry, that people will see that you can actually have a fairly significant national role and be a person with epilepsy and have a you know, yeah. And be able to control it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's an important point. Not to be flippant about it, but Julius Caesar had epilepsy, reportedly, and that wasn't what killed him, and he managed to run an empire for good and for bad.
There's a lot of comparisons that I'd like to be made to Jerry, but I don't see myself being in the same vein as one of the greatest dictators of since the time of our Lord. If there was anybody else there now in your Google search, that you might be able to see. No, but look, to be honest about it, you can have a perfectly normal life. And what I hope by today and by having chats with yourself and other people is there's obviously, you know, if there's 50,000 people in Ireland with it, there's a couple of thousand people in Kerry with it. And there's family members who are dealing with it and who are saying, Jesus, especially with children, will they ever have a normal quality of life and will they ever be able to do anything for themselves? Like I'm a member of the government and my diagnosis came very late in life. Now, I did have the characteristics of epilepsy as a child. I remember it. And I remember having the characteristics of it as a child for donkey's years. But it got out of control in about 2015, 2016, during the 2016 general election. And I was hospitalized 3 times, I'd say, within 3 or 4 weeks. And I was told every time there's nothing wrong with me. And on one particular time that I was going in, the consultant that met me said, look, I've met this man on 3 different occasions up to now. There's nothing wrong with him. He needs to go home and sleep. And like, I knew that there was something wrong with me. My wife knew there was something wrong with me. My family knew there was something wrong with me. And yet I was being not believed, sent home, basically told that I was working too hard and that I needed to sleep it off and that everything would be fine. And so if that happened to me, that has also obviously happened to hundreds of other people as well. And I think that people need to have the confidence through their families and their GPs to persist until they get a proper explanation, because these things just don't happen. Like, you don't have neurological seizures for no reason, and people need to persist and get a diagnosis. And you know, doctors differ in patients' die, and in my situation, had I not persistent, I'm convinced I would be dead.
And by the way, if you are affected by it, Epilepsy Ireland are available on 01455 7500 for advice. But you start with your GP, as the Minister has said. Minister, separate to that and on to very concerning issues here locally in Kerry and West Limerick, particularly people who work in Costal, SIP2 expressing shock and anger at the scale of redundancy sought by management of the Costal Abbey Field plant, major employer in West Limerick and North Kerry, confirmed recently 140 jobs would be lost at the Abbey Field facility. They follow Costal's decision to transfer the production of onboard chargers from Abbey Field to China, which will occur in the last quarter of this year. So a very concerning and worrying time for families in the area.
Yeah, look, and the first point, I suppose, Costal have been around the Abbey Field area employing people from West Limerick and North Kerry now since the 1980s, 1981, and they've provided great employment. They're a family-owned business. You know, they've come to the area from Germany and provided, as I say, huge sustained employment. And then they opened the second plant in Mallow in the early 2000s. But there was, I suppose, locally, it was flagged that there was going to be the possibility of redundancies. One of the big concerns was would the plant survive? And the plant is going to survive. And obviously, look, the IDA and the Department of Enterprise have been and will continue to be in discussions with the local plant management there to ensure that that the, you know, whatever supports is needed in the way forward in terms of IDA and Enterprise, the Department of Enterprise, that'll be there. But the fact that it's going to China is probably one of the things that is of greater concern, because it shows in terms of our competitiveness, the costs associated with manufacturing in Ireland is obviously continuing to rise. And we saw it as well in the West Limerick area there not that long ago when Wyatt Nutritionals, Nestle, and they're being wound up at the moment. So look, we have to be mindful of the fact that competitiveness, and I know that Peter Burke is very concerned about this manufacturing competitiveness. While we do things here excellently and to a very high standard, there are countries that are emerging that can do it cheaper than us, and like we did in the 1980s, and can in many ways eat our lunch. So we have to be very mindful of that and very conscious of that, particularly
are we
when,
learning a lot
when
about international trade? Are we learning a lot about international trade and costs and tariffs and the level of volatility around it, that companies, you know, there's a reluctance to make investments at the moment because of those sort of reasons, but that companies, when they need to move, they'll just move.
Well, sure, look, that has always been the case. I mean, I worked for a company in Nina in Tipperary, Procter & Gamble, and they up sticks and left went to Poland shortly after Poland joined the European Union. I mean, we can go back as far as Dáil when that left an absolutely massive gaping hole in Limerick City. But we also have to look at the transformation that has happened in the Kerry, Limerick, Cork area in the intervening period, and the opportunities that are there for employment now across, you know, Tralee, Limerick City, Cork, Mallow, wherever. They have grown substantially, and we have to be mindful of the fact that we have pretty much full employment, and our population is continuing to grow. Our labour force is continuing to grow, and in many areas we have labour shortages. So there are opportunities as well with the education and training boards, and I'm a former minister for further and higher education, for people that are coming out of employment to reskill and to upskill and to change their skill set. And the Limerick and Clare ETB in this case are the Kerry Education and Training Board, in people coming from the other side of the River Field, are there to help. And I would encourage people that would be worried about, you know, I'm a few years off of retirement yet, what am I going to do, to engage with the education and training boards in the first instance, because not only can they assist you in terms of reskilling, but they might also be able to point you in the direction in terms of making sure that any applications, CVs and things like that that have to be done, that they can be done so in a format that a modern employer will look for. But look, it is a blow, there's no doubt about it, but the situation is underground in every field. People would say it could have been an awful lot worse if the entire plant was closing.
Okay, Minister, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us about that and about the issue of epilepsy today. That's Minister Patrick O'Donovan himself, who has epilepsy and told his story about how he was diagnosed, how he was misdiagnosed for years, and hoping that the stigma is coming to an end. If you're affected by it, you have your own story, we'd love to hear from you on the programme. Remember, you can get support. Go to your GP. Stick to your guns if you feel there's something is wrong, and get, you know, the proper assessment, and you can contact Epilepsy Ireland as well, who are available there today. Of course, International Epilepsy Day, there's a lot about it in the media, a lot of other issues with regards to it, but the number to call for Epilepsy Ireland is 01455 7500.